Kat Hadley, director of the Great Economy Project, is our guest on today's morning show. How you doing, Kat?
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Not a problem. So for people that don't know, we had Erica on a while back, and we were talking about the Patriotic Millionaires. They're going to be back in Richland Center, in fact, this very evening. And so you'll be back in our fair city.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to be there tonight at the Phoenix Center. Doors open at 5. All are welcome. We're going to have dinner. We have a really special guest, Sarah Anderson. She works at the Institute for Policy Studies, and her whole study is on CEO pay disparities. And so what that means when CEOs are paid as much as they are for average working people.
Which is, I heard some numbers the last time you were in Richland Center, and it is just amazing what CEOs are paid comparison to local people like you and I.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's gotten worse over the years. I think we can all kind of feel that. But when you have somebody, who's getting paid that much more than their average person, I mean, that puts strain on everyone else. And I mean, that's a lot of what our program is focusing on is these overarching systems impact our everyday lives, even if we don't feel that.
Well, each first guest on the morning show, we always ask to tell us a little bit about yourself. So where are you from originally?
I'm from Ann Arbor, Michigan, so just one state away. And I love Wisconsin. We actually, my husband has a family farm in Wisconsin, and we still go once a year and take the kids. And so I went to University of Michigan. I'm a Truman Scholar, which is through the federal government. It's kind of the living legacy of President Truman. And it basically just means that it's somebody very dedicated to public service. I'm lucky enough to be elected as a library board member here in Ann Arbor, so love doing that work. And, you know, I've been working for the Patriotic Millionaires now for a few years and just really love this program. I worked, before I went to University of Michigan, I actually worked minimum wage jobs for about 10 years of my life. I remember those days, and, you know, I'm very dedicated to trying to make life better for everyone, you know, not just the rich on the top, but everybody else.
So you were a waitress, and you remember those paydays back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I made $2.65 an hour. It's a little bit higher here now in Michigan. I waited tables at a Coney Island here in Ann Arbor for a long time.
And when you look at getting involved with this, what first drew you to this, Kat?
Well, you know, when I started as an intern when I was in college, and I was really drawn to the idea of millionaires who were saying, hey, we should pay more in taxes, and the minimum wage isn't high enough, and people need more political equity. And as somebody that struggled a lot in life and saw how these systems impacted my everyday, I just thought, you know, I'm on board with this. And when it comes to this program, you know, I'm very dedicated to helping people understand that, well, it's fair to feel like we don't have a voice in politics. We absolutely do. We just kind of have to demand it, which is a lot of what the program is trying to get people to consider is, you know, you have political equity. We just have to flex those muscles, and we're a little out of shape. So how do we get started on that? That kind of thing.
You were in Richland Center a couple of weeks ago when you first came here. And how do you think the first night went at the Phoenix Center?
Well, we were really thrilled with how many people came out and just talked to us and asked questions. And so that was wonderful. I think we had around 90 people show, which was just great. We were really excited to accept everybody that came that first night into the program. And, we're trying to get the word out just to make sure people know, because, it's always a fun exercise to figure out how's the best way to communicate with people. But, So we had that night, and people got to meet Erica Payne, who is our president. She'll be there tonight. And some of our members came out. Sage, who runs civic media here, was out. We try to always bring some members in just so people can really meet people and see eye to eye and ask questions and realize that, you know, our members are just as dedicated to this as the people showing up and taking the time out of their week to actually do this.
And very common folks, too. The folks that you just mentioned, if you didn't know, I don't think you would assume that they were a millionaire, would you?
No. Yeah. It's very rare that you can clock a millionaire. Our members tend to be like, you know, I mean, they're just everyday people. I mean, and that's the reality, right? Is I think sometimes we can think that, oh, well, you know, rich folks, they just live so differently than us. But in reality, these are just people. And particularly for our members, these are people really invested in trying to make an economy and build an economy together with working folks that works for everyone. You know, they talk a lot about how, you know, this is a win. This isn't philanthropy. This is them wanting an America that works. This isn't, you know, them doing things for brownie points. It's them saying this system is broken and we need to make change, and that they recognize they can't make that change alone. They need people in this with us. It can't just be them.
I think when people came to the first meeting here in Richland Center, Kat, I'm guessing there were some of the 90 that were a little bit skeptical and thinking, okay, this is going to get political and I'm going to be uncomfortable, but I didn't get that vibe.
No, you know, so we're bipartisan. There's a reality where both sides, it doesn't matter who's in power, this issue has gotten worse over time. So from where we come from, you know, it wouldn't make sense to work with one party over the other. We want to work with people that want to work on solutions. And so when we're building coalitions or having these meetings, we really want everyone at the table because this impacts all of us. And it can't be a divided message. You know, this is important education and information for everyone, not just a Democrat or a Republican or an independent. This really is for everyone, and we need all hands on deck to make changes in this area, because if it's one party isn't going to get us there, but if we're all there demanding change, there's a much larger chance that we actually can make that happen.
And I think people are surprised how much they may have in common in their beliefs when they get together, aren't they?
Yeah, that's been, you know, we ran this program as a pilot in North Carolina, and a really beautiful thing was to see people that might not normally talk start to build a community around the issues. I always tell people in organizing, you know, there's issue-focused organizing and there's broad-based organizing. And what we're trying to do is kind of blend the two and really build a community that wants to work on these issues. And so, you know, we were able to see that there, where people, you know, Republicans, Democrats, independents, or the other party we joke, which is hate them all, you know, go and work on this issue together and learn about it together and see also your neighbors that you might not see eye to eye on a lot of things with. You see them in a different light, you know, because I think a lot of times, you know, what we run into is that people think that poverty is a choice that they made at some point. And there's a reality where, you know, there's always a level of personal responsibility, whatever you want to say. But when we look at the system the way it is right now, things are rigged against the working people. And so if we can acknowledge that, we can start to make changes. And it's really important to me in this program, you know, we deal with a lot of heavy topics, you know, when it comes to the economy and how out of hand it's gotten, aimed towards making the rich richer. And we try to always lead with hope, because there is hope, right? These are policy choices and they are reversible and we can work on them, but we need to work together to make those changes.
I think one of the first goals and things that you look at is raising those minimum wages, isn't it?
Yeah, we are always interested on working on a higher wage. You know, we've seen in states where they have higher minimum wages that everyone benefits. You know, it's there's all the research that supports that. And the idea is that when you raise the minimum wage, it's a cash injection into your local economy, right? Because, yeah, I might have to pay my workers a little bit more money, but if everyone is also paying everyone else a higher wage, everyone's able to spend a little bit more money and feel a little bit lighter. And it's our working theory that, you know, with the tensions so high right now in America, you know, a lot of it comes from that economic struggle that a lot of us are facing. And to be clear, I'm not a millionaire, so I understand that. You know, I've lived that struggle as minimum wage and even as a worker, you know. I'm able to live a comfortable life now, but, you know, it's still, you know, there's a lot looming in our economy now. So, you know, I think a higher minimum wage benefits us all, even if we don't feel like it. You know, it's the wage floor, and from the floor we all go up, right? So even if it, you know, it feels like something, when we talk about raising the minimum wage, we talk a lot about like, oh, who will this impact? When in reality, it impacts all of us. You know, it's better pay for everyone, not just those working minimum wage.
So you answered one of my questions. You're not a millionaire. You probably get asked that being associated with this group, though, don't you?
Oh, yes, often. I often am asked that. Not even close. I was raised by two social workers, so it's not even a family inheritance situation. But, you know, our members are, and, you know, they treat us well, don't get me wrong. But, you know, community organizing and working in the field I do, it's very rare to find somebody who is a millionaire, I'll say that.
You mentioned that you were a Truman Scholar. Wasn't this a vision of Harry S. Truman? I believe I may have read that somewhere along the line.
Yeah, so Truman did a few things that are similar to this, but... Yeah, he definitely, I think on his last day, he doubled the minimum wage when he was elected. At that time, it was 40 cents and went up to 75 cents, and it was one of his last acts. But yeah, Truman did a lot of really interesting stuff. He helped lay the groundwork for food stamps. And he was definitely a really interesting president in our time. He also, so how the Truman works is it's a public service award. So it's highly competitive, similar to like the Rhodes and the Marshall. But you have to be in public service. And Truman was actually our last president that never completed college. He had enrolled a few times, but never actually went through the finish line. And so when it came time to do his library, he said, I would actually rather have this go towards making sure, he saw the importance of a college education, especially for people in public service, and how important that was going to be. And so his living legacy are these Truman Scholars. So there's each year there's one from each state. In 2021, I was lucky enough to be the one from Michigan. So it's a really interesting group, and also bipartisan. Tons of different folks are Truman Scholars. Some more famous ones are folks like Andy Kim out of New Jersey. He's a rep. Stacey Abrams, Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. So it's a really interesting group of folks, all dedicated to public service.
People were here a couple of weeks ago then, Kat, and were they sent letters that they were accepted or invited back, or how did that work?
Yeah, so we did it via email. So Friday, I think Thursday and Friday, we had emails go out and another round. But if anybody attended the meet and greet, they were accepted into the program. And we're going to have some more openings as well. So tonight I'll have applications that people can fill out. And so what it means to be accepted is that we pay per session $50 per session. You get a payout at the end. We have to like track attendance and do stuff. But, you know, anyone who's accepted in the program gets that payment at the end of the program. And what we're trying to do is just, you know, we recognize that people's time is worth money, you know, and so, you know, that's what we're trying to do there. And we also, you know, for anybody interested in just coming and showing up and learning the material and not enrolling in the program, you're absolutely welcome to just show up and, you know, learn a little bit about it, see if you're interested. You know, we have things like we're going to be giving away copies of the Tax the Rich book, which Erica Payne wrote. So we'll have those tonight for anybody that walks through the door. I mean, all are welcome. And we're trying to make this just, you know, something that's really worth people's time and also show them that we're invested in them learning about how we view the economy.
So if someone can come tonight, but maybe can't come next time or whatever, that's all right as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, all are welcome to come to any of them. We understand that. I know my summer schedule with two small kids. I have a 5- and a 7-year-old, so my summer schedule is always very interesting. We totally get it. We try to plan them around the middle of the week. But I know, like, we have tonight, we have Sarah Anderson, and then we're going to be back on August 8th, and we're going to have Chuck Collins, who's from the Institute of Policy Studies and also was going to be the heir is the heir to the Oscar Mayer fortune, but he gave it all away. So he's a very interesting person to talk to, and has a lot of ties to the Wisconsin area. So, you know, anything that anyone wants to attend, they're more than welcome to. We just want to meet people and talk to them and talk about the economy.
So after you get together and you have these discussions, what is the next step?
So after we complete the education, we basically ask the group, you know, if you've learned and you want to take action, stick around and we will help you take action in these areas. And if you don't want to, that's okay. You have the education, you know, stay in touch. We totally get that. In North Carolina, what that has looked like is we have a group called the American Deciders out of North Carolina. And, you know, we met with them and said, you know, what would you like to do as a group? Do you want to do, you know, like whatever we can facilitate? We tried to let people lead the change they want to see. So it's not about me telling you what to do. It's about you telling me, you know, here's what I want to work on. So in North Carolina, what that looked like is we want to work on a state level to raise the minimum wage. So last week, actually, we went to the state capitol. We went to Raleigh, and we met with different lawmakers there to talk about, you know, we want you to come to the table on a minimum wage. And they did all the talking. I stayed in the hallway and made sure we were getting to the next appointment, but it's all them doing this work, right? Because I tell people this often, you know, your lawmaker will not listen to me. I'm a girl from Michigan, and they'll thank me for my time and, you know, say, all right, that's enough of that. But when it's somebody that's from your state or, you know, your direct representative, you know, those people need your support and they want your support. And a lot of those politicians on a state level have higher aspirations. So maybe they'll eventually need your support. So they're really going to listen to your feedback. And so, you know, that's what it's been shaken up to look like in North Carolina. We also have people online that have done the cohort completely online, and they're working on federal level stuff. There's a lot of things to plug into and ways to go about making these changes. And so the idea is to get that, you know, education so you understand some of these issues, the nuance to them, what's going on politically, and then how to change it.
Are things similar in North Carolina as they are to Wisconsin? Why those two states?
Well, we picked North Carolina because our founder, Erica Payne, is from North Carolina. And so she, you know, really wanted to get back there and do some work there and kind of see if this program could work. And we were really lucky in that our first cohort, everyone decided to stay and do the work. And so that's excellent, right? And then Wisconsin, we picked... because, you know, when we were looking at different states and different wage issues, it just seemed like an area that we could have some wiggle room in and maybe get something done. And sometimes, too, we have members that say, hey, I'm from this state. I want this program here. So, like, we'll be launching in Pennsylvania in a few months. And a lot of that is guided from members that want this program there. Wisconsin is another thing where members said, hey, we really want this in Wisconsin. And so we go and make it happen. And so, yeah, we're trying to grow quickly so people have, you know, a national movement they can tap into, but we're still a baby in here. And so we're still figuring it all out, but, you know, we're really excited about Wisconsin. I've seen a ton of good work and I think, you know, as there are similarities always, but every state's going to be a little different on how things run, how laws can be passed, things like that. But I think there's a lot to be hopeful for in Wisconsin.
The title, Kat, Patriotic Millionaire, does that scare some people off?
Absolutely. Well, I think a lot of people, when they hear it, just think, what? You know, when I when I have to explain my job to people, you know, often in organizing, it's always you work for who. But I think that it's intentional in that way. You know, we want people to see it and want to learn more. We want people to want to dig into what does this mean? Who are these people? What are they up to? And so it kind of helps us in a lot of ways because it grabs that attention and gets people to listen to the other stuff, right? And that's on both sides of the aisle, you know, because really we need folks, you know, the Patriotic Millionaires for over a decade now have worked on these issues exhaustively. I mean, I've been on the lobby days where they go to the Hill and talk to lawmakers and say, tax me more. We need a higher minimum wage. And, you know, we've been successful in getting a lot of press around the issue and pushing on the issue, but legislatively we have not been able to get things through. So what we've kind of thought is we need to be having both sides, you know, the millionaires and the people in the room demanding these changes. And so how do we build that? How does that happen? And so I think that's a really beautiful way to approach it because, you know, often when you'll talk to a lawmaker, one thing that always breaks my heart is they'll say, oh, well, I've raised the minimum wage, but nobody's come and complained about it to me. I never hear people talking about this issue. And that breaks my heart as somebody that, you know, lived for a long time on that lower wage who didn't really understand that, like, I could even call my lawmaker. You know, I think... So I want to curb some of that and really be able to have these conversations. And I think a big thing is that lived experience is really important. You know, when you're arguing with something that you live with every day, that passion comes through, that lived experience comes through, and it's very moving for people. So I think having all types in the room to demand this change is really important.
What's the most common question after one of the presentations that you usually hear from the public?
Well, for the first meet and greet, it's usually, are you sure I don't have to pay anything? Because I think there is a common thing where people get our mail, our flyer in the mail, and they're like, oh, maybe this is like a timeshare selling thing, because it is a little weird to be like, a bunch of millionaires want to buy you dinner. Come on down and listen to us talk about whatever it is we're going to talk about. So that's often one. And then a lot of times it's like, well, why here? Why'd you pick this city? And when we're looking at a place like Richland Center, you know, we're looking at a town. We like to pick smaller towns that are full of working people because I really do believe the path forward is, you know, through that kind of organizing that's involving people. You know, often too, like in North Carolina, when we're talking to residents of Whiteville, often people that are left behind, you know, in these conversations. And so giving them an ability to talk with authority on these issues and demand that political attention and equity is really important. And so, you know, and then also what we see is that, you know, come election season, which we do not, you know, we are not here to talk about politics, but I will say, you know, come election season, everyone's courting the working person's vote, right? That's like a big thing that we'll hear come out. And so, you know, having people that understand our issue and that agree with us on the economy and being able to have that come through in any way is something that, you know, we would cross our fingers and hope would happen because, you know, what we want to do is create a system, though, where every person feels political equity and feels that political power because we're Americans and that's what we deserve. So, yeah.
With the speaker tonight, maybe you could talk about her a little bit again and what her focus will be on.
So Sarah Anderson is a researcher out of the Institute for Policy Studies, and she directs the Global Economy Project and also edits there's an inequality.org website that's really interesting. But she's covered a ton of stuff in her career. So, you know, things like Wall Street reform, taxes and labor. And she did a report called Executive Excess, and that's what she's going to talk about tonight. And that focuses on CEO pay. And she is just incredible. And she's from a small town, you know, and talks about her grandfather's business and, you know, what it was like when Walmart came in, when to how it impacted his mom and pop shop in this small town. So it's a really interesting presentation and kind of outlines, you know, the problem of CEO pay, how it impacts us on an everyday basis, how it impacts small business, and then, you know, what we can do to try to fix it and try to make it better as we go forward. And she talks a lot about, too, like, there are some states that have enacted laws and things to try to curb this. And so she's just a really passionate speaker on this issue, and I find her work fascinating, and she'll be there. Erica will be there. She'll be able to answer questions afterwards. We really encourage, like, back and forth and Q&A. So it's going to be a really interesting night.
It's certainly interesting to meet and talk with some of the people that are there. In fact, I was impressed last time, one of your millionaires, his children don't even know he's a millionaire.
Yep, that happens. We have private members. And so when we have, some people are, you know, very front and center in our work, and they'll say, you know, put my face on everything, you know, happy to promote. You have people like Morris Pearl, who will also be out, I believe, August 22nd, to talk about tax systems and how they work basically to make the rich richer. But we do have some members that, you know, say, you know, I don't want to be, I support this, but I can't be public because of personal reasons or whatever it is. So we honor that either way, because they support our work. And yeah, so it's always interesting.
So again, Kat, if anybody's listening today, interested in the program, they can come and sign up tonight if they'd like?
Yep, absolutely. We have doors open at 5 p.m. at the Phoenix Center. I'll have applications ready for anyone who would like to apply. If you were at the first meet and greet, you are accepted into the program, and we are excited to see you again. Anyone can reach out to me with questions at gep@patrioticmillionaires.org. And yeah, we're thrilled to see people. You get free dinner. You get a free book. We'll have Sarah Anderson there in the house. Some of our members will come out. It'll just be a fun time. So come learn with us.
And if you can't make tonight, August 8th, you could come that night then.
Oh, yeah. August 8th, we'll be there. So we'll be there August 8th. We'll have Chuck Collins out again from the Institute for Policy Studies. And on August 22nd, we'll have Morris Pearl, who's the president of our current board and used to work for BlackRock Financial, to talk about basically how to rig an economy. So we got some fun dates coming up.
Excellent. Well, you've been a great guest. Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope you have safe travels here to Richland Center tonight, Kat.
Yep, excited to see everyone. Thank you.
You're welcome. Kat Hadley, director of the Great Economy Project, the Patriotic Millionaires in Richland Center, again tonight at the Phoenix Center. This is The Morning Show from WRCO.